Get your quarters ready. This is the History of Gaming podcast, and I'm the final boss, Zach Natto. This podcast is a way to help shine a light on a popular video game franchise. We're going to find out exactly how these games were made and learn things like what went right and what went wrong. Everyone's got their favorite video game, right? No matter what era it's from or whatever genre, you'll find an iconic character at center stage every time. You ever notice that? There's always a guy with a sword, a really fast hedgehog, or someone with a huge gun. And we're always being drawn to their personality, stories, and the worlds around them. And today's game is no different. We're talking about the love child of Rare and Nintendo, Donkey Kong Country. So sit back in your favorite tree and pour yourself a banana slamma, because there's a lot to go into about our primate protagonist, Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong was created by Shigeru Miyamoto in 1981, but DK was a little different back then in his first game. Now, some of you may not know that Donkey Kong started the trend of stealing girlfriends as the OG bad guy in video games. His first game was appropriately named Donkey Kong, and players take control of Jumpman, who we now know as Mario. In this game, Mario's girlfriend named Pauline needs to be rescued, so you as the player have to climb a construction site, jumping over barrels and other hazards hurled at them by Donkey Kong. The game was a huge success and had three other sequels, and a remake for the original Game Boy in 1994. As Nintendo grew as a company, it started branching out to other video game developers to help make their games. This led to them approaching Rare Limited, whose cutting-edge technology and graphics made them an up-and-comer in the industry at the time. Now, their job was to make a side-scrolling adventure with Donkey Kong as the good guy this time around. After a painstaking redesign, they slapped a tie on that gorilla, and he became the lovable ape we all know. But that wasn't all. They were creating a whole new world from the ground up. They'd have to have more characters than just Donkey Kong. So they got to work, making Diddy Kong, Donkey Kong's sidekick, and King K. Rool, a maniacal crocodile who invades Donkey Kong's island with an army to steal all of his bananas. Once they had all the cast members, they had to give the show a name, and they chose Donkey Kong Country. Players can both use Donkey Kong and Diddy in the game, collecting bonus items, throwing barrels, traversing complicated level paths, and jumping on enemies to get through levels. The game was a phenomenal success for so many reasons. Rare used new technology when making this game. They modeled all the characters in 3D first, then rendered them back into bit graphics to run on the Super Nintendo. This made the movements much smoother and more animated compared to other games. And not only did it look like magic, it sounded like it too. I can't play the licensed music because I know Nintendo's gonna mount my head on a wall with legal issues if I do, so I urge you to go listen to the game's soundtrack yourself. It's exciting and catchy in all the right areas, and then the mood changes whenever the levels do. Sometimes I just sit back and listen to the music a little bit before going forward in the level. It's that good. The original Donkey Kong Country sold 9.3 million copies, making it the third best-selling SNES game of all time. The game's success drove Rare to make two more games in the franchise, changing up the main protagonists in each game. The trilogy was a success, but there weren't any games like it until Donkey Kong Jungle Beat came out on the GameCube in 2005. The game had similar gameplay, but the major difference was that it was more of a rhythm game using physical bongos to move DK around. Fans were disappointed it wasn't like the original games, and they wouldn't get a new traditional DK Country until 5 years after Jungle Beat came out. Donkey Kong Country Returns was released for Nintendo Wii and introduced more gameplay mechanics and had different art direction elements like silhouetted backgrounds. Fans were incredibly receptive, and it even outsold the first Donkey Kong Country. It's very rare, pun intended, that a perfect game is made, but geez, did Nintendo and Rare hit a home run with Donkey Kong Country. They turned an average angry gorilla into an icon, whose popularity rivals even their poster boy Mario. The game offers such a unique experience that players keep coming back to enjoy. And I wanted to capture that experience and share it with you. So I asked one of my best friends, Joseph, who's a diehard fan of all apes in any shape or size. Donkey Kong Country is one of his favorite games, and here we explore why.
So we're talking about Donkey Kong Country, and Donkey Kong is a very, very popular video game mascot. Everybody, when they first start playing it, they're blown away by so many different things. You know, the music, the gameplay, the backgrounds even.
That's what grabbed me so much as a kid, like the backgrounds, like as you just said, and like the lush environments. And it's like, it feels like you're actually in a jungle, even though it is such an old game. But the way they did the graphics was crazy with the 3D models, and it did feel like a crazy jump, even though it was like mid-generation for the Super Nintendo.
How does this game differ from the original game it was based on, where you'd have Jumpman side-scrolling up a building trying to save Pauline's girlfriend from Donkey Kong?
No, yeah, so it is crazy that Donkey Kong started in that arcade as the main villain to Jumpman. And, you know, he's just throwing barrels and all that. And they kind of keep those themes in Donkey Kong Country. The game starts where it's Cranky Kong on the old scaffolding from the Donkey Kong arcade game.
Cranky Kong is Donkey Kong's grandfather, right?
Yeah. They allude to that in the game through little kind of blips when you're at the save points. And Cranky Kong tells you about how when he was a young boy and he was fighting Jumpman back in the day. But then in that opening scene, Donkey Kong kind of just falls from the sky with a big jukebox and he starts dancing with his red tie on. And it kind of lets you know that it's a completely different direction and completely different game, and that you're going to be in for a wild ride.
A wild ride indeed. They have so much fun with this franchise. They throw so many different elements into it. Things like underwater levels or the animals that you interact with as well. What sets Donkey Kong apart from other video game characters, in your opinion?
Oh, well, in the game itself, the characters have so much charm, and the way they react to different things, like when you lose a bonus level, they like shake their head in disappointment, or when they're happy, they jump up and down and start dancing around. And even when you experience a boss battle, you know, their eyes kind of pop out of their head, and it's very cartoony, and it kind of, you know, you really start to enjoy watching these characters on screen, because they're 3D models turned into 2D sprites, so they have so much more depth that they give off. And like you said, even the enemies range from everything. You've got beavers, you've got bumblebees with deadly stingers, you've got different kinds of crocodiles, you've got the big belly ones with the army hats, and it's got a whole cast of characters, and the game just gives off so much charm through its design.
I know you're a big fan of music. The listeners can't see this right now, but you've got a Daft Punk poster behind you. You are fan of music. Can you tell me why this soundtrack is on so many people's top 10 lists for video games?
It's almost indescribable, but it's just the way it compares to the other games before it. You know, you had Super Mario World, which has a great soundtrack in itself, but it is very video game-y in a way. Like, it's bleeps and boops and stuff like that. But then with Donkey Kong, they have drums, they have synths, there's guitars in the final boss battle. It's just a full-blown soundtrack, and there's a reason they put it on its own, like, standalone CD that people were going crazy buying. And like you said, with the water level, aquatic ambience, probably the most famous track, feels like you're on a whole other planet, just lost in this world as two apes swimming through the ocean.
That's a perfect way to describe it, being lost in the music. And it's definitely different than your catchy Green Hill Zone or Mushroom Kingdom songs. You know, it's something you lose yourself in the game as you're playing it. Now, I want to know what your thoughts on the spiritual successor to this game, Donkey Kong Jungle Beat. I think this may have been my first introduction to Donkey Kong, and I think it was from you. What do you think worked about this game in trying to capture that same Donkey Kong Country aspect, but changing it with the drum bongo aspect?
Oh, Donkey Kong Jungle Beat, I am so glad you brought this up. That game holds a special place in my heart, even though most people didn't like it for its gimmicky controls with the bongos, but did a perfect way of incorporating a rhythm-style gameplay with a game where music is so well, like it's so well known for its music. So to make it into a rhythm game where you're literally playing bongos and clapping as you go through it, it makes perfect sense. And I wish more people gave it a try, or that we got another sequel to it.
Yeah, and it kind of lends into the weird relationship that Donkey Kong and Mario have. Like I looked into Donkey Kong Jungle Beat, and there were elements in it that inspired some elements in Mario or Super Mario Galaxy. So it's just constantly like, you know, like these two iconic characters started together and they're still finding ways to work together going on.
Yeah.
Real quick elevator pitch. You're with somebody who doesn't know anything about Donkey Kong or video games in general. What would be your pitch to them to play this game?
Oh, man. Oh, where do I even start with it? Like, I mean, would you like to be two primates running through the forest, beating up baddies and trying to save your banana horde while jamming out to great tunes and high octane, like fast paced gameplay with precision movements and different mechanics throughout the levels? I mean, it's just what not to love about it. It took everything from all the other platformers before it and just cranked it up to 11. It's there's a reason it's my favorite game, for sure.
That was the History of Gaming podcast, episode 4. Thank you so much for making it this far. Next week will be our final episode of season 1, so you don't want to miss it. Thanks again to Joseph for being on the show this week. I'm Zach Natto, the final boss on the History of Gaming podcast. Thanks for listening.